this is Randy Randall from No Age. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Thanks a lot.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Well, 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 welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, however you've decided to spend the hour with us. We're really, really glad to have you. Well, spring is almost here. We're getting very close to March the 21st, which I believe is the first day of the spring equinox. And it's funny because I'm thinking about Lent, because Val from Folk Oasis was just mentioning that it's the start of Lent, which I think of deprivation a little bit. And I think it's really important to really celebrate life and to embellish and love life. And I think it's really important. And sometimes I think living in Van City, it's difficult, where, especially when it comes to dating, where we wonder, where are all the guys in Vancouver? Guys tell me, where are all the girls in Vancouver? And sometimes I'm not quite sure, and maybe it's not that there's no men, there's no women. Perhaps what the core issue of it is perhaps that we don't know how to connect to each other as well. And maybe, maybe not. And with that, tonight I've got a very special guest on who I'm looking forward to talking to her about this and finding out what her thoughts are and how we can connect with people and how to make dating easier in a city like Van City. So how we do that. So welcome to the show, Toby.
Thank you.
And I'm going to have you say your last name for me, please, and thank you. Because I was going to say Schmoor, and I don't know if I quite got it correct.
You're so close. No, it's Toby Schnoor is my name.
And Toby Schnoor. Yeah. And you are a dating coach as well as a counselor, which, as I was telling you, telling Val, actually, when you just came in here in the short break between our shows, I love that. And did you want to explain why you're both and why it's so important?
Yeah, actually, the whole concept of being a counselor is to look at where you are now and how you got here, what led you up to basically where you find yourself today. And the whole concept and modality behind coaching is taking where you are now and looking at where you want to go. And how are you going to get there? So it's a great combination because it takes the reality of the assessment of where you are now. It's the counseling part allows us to unhook limiting beliefs or things that may have crept in that no longer serve. And the coaching part takes us far into where we want to be and how we're going to get there.
I like that, because if you don't have a roadmap, how are you supposed to know when you get there?
Exactly. Exactly.
So tell me about that, because when people say things like, there's no people to meet to date in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
Do you hear that a lot, especially
in business? I hear a lot about that. It's perplexing and sad, and yet there is that whole thing of it is so difficult for people to date in Vancouver, and why is that? And It's really interesting. I loved what you said about it's not about there's no good men, there's no good women. It's about we're not connecting the way we need to connect. And for a city that's so spiritually in tune and got such a vibrant history and a vibrant and diverse culture, we're kind of missing that deeper connection on some level. And I hear that quite a bit from people.
Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because of social media and the fact that we do live in a very fast food culture? Although that fast food culture and West Coast just don't seem to belong in the same sentence.
I know. It's such an oxymoron in a way when you think of it. And yet, the really weird thing is that we're so advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And the West Coast is a really interesting combination of things, and it's a little bit of the we're cutting edge on the branding, and we're so tied in with Hollywood and image and branding, And yet we've got that spiritual and nature and authentic self, and it, how to marry the two so that the one, the branding, is a tool that's used not to create a persona, but to actually just enhance and celebrate the authentic person inside. Very different thing than branding yourself as a separate entity.
Tell me what branding yourself is. I keep getting visions of Neil Strauss's The Game in my head and wearing like one specific piece of clothing like that to have a conversation starter.
Well, you've just inspired me.
Thank you.
That actually was a big turning point for me and into why I got into dating coaching was that book specifically. Mm. I found it interesting, truthful in part, and extremely disturbing in other parts. Because the whole concept is about manipulating behavior to get somebody to do what you want them to do. And again, when we come into a relationship, it's about sharing who we are authentically with another person. So it's not about getting another person to behave in a certain way or getting something from another person. It's about who can you be with that you can be yourself with and that you can celebrate all parts of you equally and wholly, and who gets that about you. And as much as social media and branding and everything has been a phenomenal tool in many ways, it is not at all something outside of ourselves. I think somehow we get lost in it. Mm-hmm. Like we get lost into the image that we've created about ourselves versus who we are authentically.
And I think that's a really, really good point, even just in regards to social media. Shane Gibson, who is kind of a really big speaker in terms of with sales, etc.
Yeah.
It was one of the things he brought up at one of the more recent conferences I went to, which I thought was interesting, and he kept driving the point home that we have to come up with different ways of measuring things and success, both, and he was talking more for business.
I like that.
Where it was about not just how many Twitter followers you have or how many people on Plenty of Fish have liked your profile. It's about actually getting off of the media and actually measuring how many cars did you sell. If you're, like, say, a car salesman, how many people did you actually really connect with? And I think it's important.
Yeah, it really is about human connection, and we're not commodities that we can interview each other and buy and sell and, you know, kind of fast forward through. We're actually human beings and souls walking around the planet doing our thing. So to approach dating in a superficial way of getting something or achieving something as though the opposite sex is something to conquer is a little bit disturbing and not really satisfying for either party, to be really truthful. Because even if you get what you want, it doesn't satisfy in the end. It's not it's not self-esteem building.
No, it's about ego, which is different than self-esteem.
Very, very different.
Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit more about the difference between self-esteem and ego? Because I can't quite come up with the words, and I know you've got the education behind you, so you can probably put it in simpler words than I can.
Well, you know, you're right. It sounds very similar, and ego's important. I mean, we have to have an ego, or else we wouldn't survive. It's a basic survival mechanism that's important for us to have. However, it's just not supposed to run the show. It's not supposed to be representative of who we are. It's there to keep us alive so that we don't get eaten by the saber-toothed tiger, so to speak. Not that happens much anymore. But
well, sometimes the dating pool can be kind of crazy. So.
Sometimes it gets a little crazy. It's a zoo out there. no bad pun intended. But self-esteem is really about how much of your whole authentic self are you allowing to shine in the world? How are you showing up? Are you showing up partly who you are and partly who you think you need to be or you should be or you ought to be or something that will get you something? because really self-esteem is about, this is who I am, a very honest assessment. This is who I am, the good, the bad, the ugly, the up, the down. There's no judgment on it. It's all of me. These are all my pieces. And this is how I go about and how I've chosen to show up in the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how do we get someone in such a branded world? So when they come to you, say, as a client, because they're really unhappy, yeah, and they say to you, oh my goodness, I can't meet anybody in the city.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's really different because we're talking about meeting on a level of human to human. And some of the things we forget is that our deepest connections come through our humanity and showing our quirks and just being ourselves. We don't have to be perfect. As a matter of fact, I don't know about you, but I don't feel super connected in a room full of perfect people.
No.
No. When I really connect with someone is when I see their human side and the part that I can identify with and say, yeah, you know what, that's me too. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's neat you say that because somebody had mentioned that to me a long time ago when they went to a party, and it's something I've always thought of in terms of when you measure the evening at the end of the night, was it successful? This particular person told me his goal was to have at least one meaningful conversation, so you actually connect with at least one person in the evening.
Right.
And if you can have that, it's a really great gift as opposed to how many business cards can you get in, say, like in 30 minutes kind of thing, where it's about having those direct contacts where you can actually build and foster those relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's about being seen, being truly seen and truly gotten. And if you think of it as humans, that's a need that we all share. And it's probably the highest compliment you can pay someone is to really, truly see them and to get them. And branding and everything else kind of stands in the way of that. And that's how I approach dating coaching, is from an inside out versus an outside, you know, learn to flirt or check someone's body language. That's fun and that's interesting, and I love it as much as everyone else. But the thing is that people aren't connecting on that level.
If they did a combination of both of those things.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Absolutely. Because the great thing is about go inside first, see who you are. You know, what are your core values? What's really running the show? Because we all have them. And what are your driving needs? You know, if we all have needs that we will absolutely, for sure, get met based on our personality, our background, everything else. And if we're consciously aware of them, typically we meet them quite effectively. If we're unconsciously aware of them, and we're not aware of them, excuse me, we'll still meet them. However, sometimes it's sideways. Sometimes it doesn't completely serve us in the other way. So it's about knowing yourself, because when you know yourself and accept yourself, you can know and accept the humanity in someone else. And that's what love and connection is really about.
Do you ever get people asking you what the true meaning of love is?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I like that question. What would, and if somebody did ask me, I would ask them back, what do you think the true meaning of love is?
I guess it's different from every person.
It absolutely is.
Because I know there's different love languages. One of my favorite books is Gary Chapman's The Love Languages, which, you know, through acts of service, quality time, physical touch. I think the other one's...
Giving gifts. Yeah.
And words of acknowledgement.
Yeah.
And each person has, and you can usually tell by the way you try and give gifts to somebody and how you, and sometimes people don't always connect because they don't understand the other person's showing they love, but it's just different languages.
Exactly. And, you know, it's really interesting that you brought that up, because I was talking with a friend of mine who is a phenomenal financial planner, and she actually uses kind of a method similar to that in terms of how people relate to money. And just like in love languages, people often are trying to get to the same place, have the same goals, trying to lovingly connect. But if you don't understand your partner's communication style and you're not able to communicate effectively with each other, it can all of a sudden turn into a huge miscommunication, and you're both going, you're both cheering for the same team. You're both wanting the same thing in the end.
Yeah.
And Love Languages, I love that book too. Yeah.
I think it's a really great one. I think it's a good, and I'd be very curious about money as well with your friend that you're talking about, because sometimes in regards to people's relationships or with money, and I was going to ask you this in regards to being a counselor and dating coach, if you found it to be true that a lot of couples do break up because of money, or if that was fact or fiction.
No, it's absolutely very, very true, and their relationship with money and what money means. And money isn't just necessarily about the money. It's about feelings of safety, feelings of power, and all the things that, that money represents. And those type of things, when you understand where a person's coming from, it's easier to accept different styles of spending and saving and what that means to somebody. It's usually that money represents that the people, again, don't feel seen and don't feel gotten, and their core basic needs.
So it goes right back to the basics.
It goes always, always, always goes right back to those basics.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And in a society where, as you said, we are doing a lot of branding, and I know Vancouver is a ship, basically the hub. I like to think of it as basically we're very forward in terms of our social media, a lot of branding, etc., which is good and bad. One of the things I hear from some of my callers sometimes, which does make me glad that I'm not dating anymore, other than my boyfriend, who I love to death. He's my life partner. But other than that, I find it interesting where sometimes it's hard to tell whether or not it's a date or not, where you go for coffee X amount of times, and it's like, okay, is this a friend? What is this?
I know. And it seems that that confusion goes equally both ways. Men aren't
women.
Sure, women aren't sure. No one's really sure what to say or do. And it does seem to be prevalent in Vancouver that there's this a little bit of ambiguity and very unclear intention. People don't know what should I do, and everybody just kind of sits back a bit waiting for the
back,
other person.
Yes.
I know, a little too chillaxed, because somebody's got to step up to it.
Yeah. And do you think it has to do with, like we just celebrated International Women's Day just yesterday, which actually CITR, our station has been really, really great and did a full day of programming about it, which was fabulous.
Awesome.
So there's a lot of different things that came on. But I was just curious in regards to International Women's Day, because we fought so hard as women to be equal, and we're still fighting that battle in a lot of different, especially in a lot of different fields. How does that affect us in our dating worlds? Because sometimes I question whether or not we've got defined roles as men and women anymore.
That's a very valid point. I think our roles as men and women have changed, and it's very confusing. People aren't sure what is okay, what's not okay, what's acceptable, and what's not acceptable anymore. And it has definitely affected in terms of women have had to step up into their masculine energy in certain ways. Men, you know, we all want a sensitive man. We all want someone who's there like our friends. They've had to step more into being more open. And how do we kind of then navigate through? And that comes down to a lot of transparent communication. And one of my favorite books is called Conscious Loving. And it talks about the transparency in communication in terms of telling the transparent truth on all the different levels. And so that your partner knows kind of where you're at with things. You know, even if things don't feel good, it's not an attack. It's kind of like, wow, you know, I noticed when you were out doing that, I felt a little bit felt a little neglected, and I realized it wasn't about you, but I realized that I have been neglecting taking care of myself. I've been working too much, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I know I'm always going to come down to it, but our needs will be met. And so, for example, if we need more self-care, and we as women oftentimes have the superwoman syndrome,
yes,
where we feel like we have to do everything. And when we neglect our own self-care, then sometimes we're not as soft as we could be, and vice versa. You know, we all have our special things.
Mm-hmm.
I know myself, when I need to have more fun than I'm giving myself permission to, it comes out in ways of feeling frustrated or different things that would be really tough for a partner to meet, because it's me neglecting my own needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why dating actually starts from the inside.
That makes perfect sense, because if we don't know what we want,
no,
it's all about an emotion then, as opposed to being a really cognitive thought, like, this is what
Absolutely.
I want, this is where I'm going, and this is where I'm feeling right now, but that can change, like, from moment to moment if I just let it, as opposed to trying to grip and hang on to things.
Well, you know, we've all heard that really schmaltzy thing, you know, you have to love yourself to love another, or you have to love someone first, you love yourself first before you can love someone else, and that used to frustrate me, actually. Mm. I used to think, what does that mean? And as I went into some of my courses in counseling and coaching, I started looking at the ways we love ourselves and the ways we neglect ourselves, even the small things like neglecting time for ourselves because we're too busy, neglecting the things we love to do, the things that give us bliss and pleasure in
mm-hmm.
a day. And those are the things that steal from romance and steal from our ability to be fully open and present with our partners. So it really honestly does start with loving ourselves. And it's an inside, dating is an inside out job.
And it's neat too, because we get 97% of our information from what we see and 3%
yeah.
from what we hear.
Yeah.
So I can understand why people hit on the branding so specifically.
Yeah.
Which sometimes I question that even, because just the whole pheromones thing too. You either like somebody or don't like somebody immediately, whether it's work related, whether or not.
Absolutely,
it's,
yeah.
It's you know, classic caveman where it's like, yo, me, let's go back to cave. Bang, let's go.
Absolutely, absolutely. You cannot argue with chemistry. It just mm-hmm. comes out in the end. And, you know, it's one of those things that's inbuilt. And it's nice to have a combination of chemistry
mm-hmm.
and some conscious thought.
Yes, because chemistry only takes you so far. And
yeah.
one thing I am going to remind our listeners out there, too, is if you do have a lot of chemistry with someone and you're on hormonal birth control, it can actually affect them, your sense of smell, and how your body mm-hmm. interprets pheromones. So I strongly advise, before you make a really, really strong commitment to someone and actually get married and start thinking of having babies together, that go off the birth control and try a different method, whether a different contraceptive, like condoms and things like that, just mm-hmm. to be safer and actually make sure that it is an authentic fit. Because if you're going to tie your life with someone, it's very important to make sure you're doing it the right way, both for yourself as well as for your partner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's very wise. Very wise words.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think I got that from Tanya Diamond, who is the Tantra teacher, so who's got some really neat things, who practices out of Seattle and once in a while comes to Vancouver, which I will connect you to. So
she's,
yeah, I think you'd probably like her.
Yeah.
We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting a little bit more about dating in Van City and what we can do just to set our relationships up right from the get-go so that they're happy, healthy, and good, because don't we deserve the best? So you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
The Biltmore Beetroot and CITR 101.9 FM are proud to present Diamond Rings and P.S. I Love You, Friday, March 11th. Fresh from a gig opening for Robin, Diamond Rings will have new 7 inches available at the merch table, crisscrossing this fine continent of ours with Diamond Rings, a paper bag recording artist, P.S. I Love You, playing lots of tunes from their acclaimed 2010 debut, Meet Me at the Muster Station. Doors open at 8 and the show starts at 9:30. Advance tickets are available from the Biltmore, Zulu, Red Cat, and online at ticketweb.ca. To learn more, visit biltmorecabaret.com. That's Diamond Rings and P.S. I Love You, Friday, March 11th at the Biltmore Cabaret.
And welcome back to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM CITR. And if you're just joining us, we've been chatting about dating in Van City because sometimes it can be challenging. Sometimes there's trials, sometimes there's tribulations, but there's also titillations and true joy and celebration that can come out of it when you put the right pieces in order. And joining me tonight is... I can't believe I am just Doris Moore. I'm not going to be able to pronounce your last name.
That's no problem.
Thank you.
It's a challenge.
Your last name, please.
Toby Schnorr.
Thank you so much. And if anybody could see me right now, I am blushing. So I'm blushing like a schoolgirl, actually. So, but in regards to dating, it can be really challenging. Oh. And mm-hmm. I love the fact that you're coming up with curriculum so that people, because of course it starts with the outside in, which is one of the things we're touching on in the first half, and that there's different ways of communication that are really important. And so moving forward, there's a lot of different things. So with starting with the outside in, recognizing value systems.
The inside out?
Inside out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So yeah. Moving forward in regards to that, what are the next steps in terms of once they've figured out their value systems to moving forward?
Well, what we do is we basically take a little bit of a survey. You know, what's your personality type as well? It's really interesting because knowing your personality type gives you a ton of information on how you process and how you process information, how you deal with stress, basically how you communicate, and knowing the personality type of the person you're with is very helpful as well. So not only your core values, which really don't change. You know, we can compromise a lot of things, and we can compromise some of our outer values to a degree, but our basic core standing values, the things that we live and die by, the things that are our integrity at the very center of who we are, those really don't change. So it's very important to know very clearly what your must-haves are in a person, and what your absolute deal-breakers are.
Okay. Uh-huh. Give me an example of a deal-breaker.
Okay, a deal-breaker. Well, it's interesting. A deal-breaker for a lot of people would be monogamy.
Hmm. I can see that being a deal-breaker.
For sure.
Yes.
For sure. And there's a lot of confusion because we're all taught to decide what we want in a person and to go for it. And I do agree with wanting to be somewhat specific. And I would like to invite you to be specific in not so much the very basic outer qualities of a person, but more the essence of what that person is. And not only the essence of what they are, but how you want to feel with a person.
Hmm.
The very qualities you want to experience in a relationship. And that'll give you a lot of insight into what for you is a deal breaker, what for you is negotiable, what for you is a must-have.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So once we've got that, how do you move forward and, say, meet people and make yourself feel comfortable so you can approach people and actually be yourself? Because I think a lot of us, just in everyday life, it takes us a while to stop hiding behind our 30-second speech, essentially, if I'm going to quote Dale Carnegie.
You can quote Dale Carnegie. Yeah, the great thing about doing the work is that as people start to really understand themselves, the crazy thing is they kind of start to like themselves. And the quirks and the little things before become kind of like, wow, I'm like this, and this is my badge of honor, and this is what makes me different, and this is what makes me unique, and that whole self-awareness. If I were to tell you I have a car for sale, and it's blue, and it's a two-seater, and it's really nice, that might impress you. But if I were to say to you, you know, it runs on this, and it has... be very specific about the engine and the features and what makes it so different than anything else out there, the value of it may go up in your mind. And so it is with ourselves. When we really understand and get an appreciation of who we are on all levels and how we go through life, looking at our personality, our values, our style of communicating, our love languages, it all makes sense. And what happens is that some of the stories we've told ourselves, because we all have stories about why things didn't work and kind of secret shames about it, or, you know, those weird icky feelings, some of it is like, man, that makes so much sense. Of course that didn't work out. Like, wow, we're so different on this really fundamental level. Or it just allows us to have a lot more self-acceptance and lose the judgment on ourselves. So when that happens, without even looking, people all of a sudden start to hold themselves differently and feel differently. And so self-awareness breeds self-esteem, true self-esteem. And from there, it's a funny, funny thing. But as we celebrate ourselves and go out and really shine, it's pretty attractive. And all of a sudden, the stories about that kept us stuck before aren't getting repeated. We're developing new information, new evidence for the awarenesses we've got. So in terms of going out there, just knowing yourself solidly is a great start. The other thing is then expressing ourselves. I'm not at all against dressing a certain way or knowing your style or looking at external things. If you know that they're a reflection of the internal, great. Take that internal beauty and shout it out to the world. And men, too, take your internal sexy and rock it. Like, really celebrate who you are. But don't try and do it the other way around. Don't try and kind of be, you know, it reminds me of those little girls wearing their mother's shoes that don't fit and it's awkward. Just get yourself and then go out there and completely express yourself in every way.
It sounds like if people do that, they wouldn't just be successful in dating, they'd also be successful in other areas of their life as well.
Shh, don't tell them that part. That's actually this. You're so right. I mean, how can you not? It changes the paradigm. It changes the glasses that you have on looking at the world. And truth is really a cool thing. So when we see ourselves very truthfully and have an appreciation for that, then people feel that. You know, you can sense when somebody is accepting and kind and generous of spirit and open, and it's sexy.
Yeah.
It draws you in. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's sounding like, from what you're telling me, that regardless whether someone's sexual orientation is bisexual, heterosexual, homosexual, lesbian, it's basically, as long as they're being their true, authentic self, transgendered as well, that they just have to let that shine through and be really honest about who they are.
Absolutely, and unfortunately, some of the stereotypes have created a feeling of I have to keep pieces of me hidden.
Hmm.
So especially in the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered world, how much more benefit to just embrace all pieces of you and go out and say, this is me. This is me in all my glory. And truly, it's magnetic. It draws people. And you're right, it's not just about dating, it's about friendships. Friendships all of a sudden become so much richer.
Mm-hmm.
And work, the way we carry ourselves in business, the way we approach things, it's a very empowering place to be.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you in mm-hmm. regards to dating coach.
Mm-hmm.
Would, if somebody was in a relationship currently, so they're not looking to start dating somebody fresh,
right,
would you take them on as a client? Like, where it'd be about more about the relationship with their partner and just basically being able to fall in love and date their partner,
even
if they've been together for 50 years.
I love that. You know that saying about familiarity breeds contempt?
Mm.
And I think one of the kindest and most generous things we can do, because we're evolving and changing mm-hmm. every day, is to remain curious and open. Rather than thinking we know somebody, and to first of all remain curious and open about yourself and allow yourself to grow, but also give the people close to you that same respect. And if somebody were to come to me in a relationship, I would definitely take them on. It's all about creating a loving, deep, huge connection, and anything we can do to support that, I'm all for. Having said that, I don't do marriage or relationship conflict counseling, but I do refer out to some very top-notch counselors for that. And if it's all about how do I enhance this love, how do I show up and just really shine, and how do I bring my partner out? How do I compliment him or her? Yeah, I'm all in. Count me in for that.
I'm excited. That's awesome. Yeah. Kind of reminds me, this may sound weird, one of my favorite Dear Abby articles years and years ago. I remember my mother cutting it out for me when I was probably in about grade 6.
Yeah.
And it was in regards to a man who had asked Dear Abby what he should do because he wanted to divorce his wife, but he wanted to make sure it went easy. So Abby's advice to him was to wine and dine her again. So he ended up writing to her a year later, thanking her for that advice, because by wining and dining and treating her with respect again, they ended up falling in love again.
Absolutely.
And
we're
going on a second honeymoon and have renewed their
that.
Vows.
Aww.
So I like that.
Yeah.
What would you like in terms of for the school system, if you could wave a magic wand and change things, what would you like to be taught in terms of when we do sex ed curriculum, for example, in schools? What are some of the things that you think that might change how we relate to men, and like with, well, in terms of love relationships later on?
Yeah, it's one of the things I'd like to see in the schools would be really foundational on, in terms of going way before sex ed starts, because our sexuality starts with our connection to ourself and our own body.
Yes.
So it has to go way, 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 way back.
Okay.
And sex ed then becomes our self-relationship. How do we feel about who we are? How do I feel as a woman? How do you feel as a man? How do you feel as a bisexual or a homosexual or a lesbian or a transgendered? Or how do you feel as a tall person? Or, and it goes right into body image. So to take it a few steps back, I would love to start with, what's our relationship with ourselves again? And then, and knowing our relationship with ourselves, what is your relationship as with another person? How do you express yourself in a sexual as a sexual human being in ways that are in line
with your values?
Your values and who you are.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be really amazing if that happens. How early do you think we'd need to start? Is it true that we form a lot of our value systems by the age of 4?
It's very true.
Okay.
It's, and not to say that they're done then.
Okay.
It's that a lot of our beliefs happen. And if you think about things that happen in life as a child and what we make that mean, it's the story that we tell ourselves right in that moment that we take with so limited experience, and we create a meaning to something. And it's right then that those meanings are either going to serve us or they're going to limit us.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about life is that as adults, we're given plenty of opportunity, usually through the times that are sticky and don't feel so good, and the things that are a little bit painful, to go back and revisit some of the first thoughts and beliefs we've had and decide if they still work for us. And now, knowing what we know now, do I want to change my mind on that?
So it'd be a very cognitive approach, which I think makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know if you're familiar with Harville Hendrick's work, How to Get the Love You Want and Receiving Love. And one of his theories, and I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this right, we've already established pronunciation, it's not always my forte, about, I believe it's called an imago theory, where one of his theories in his books and his work is about the fact that a lot of times we're attracted to people because we're still trying to resolve conflicts from our childhood, and usually in regards to the parents that we had the most conflict with.
Yeah.
And so we try and replicate those situations, which is why sometimes it's like, oh, why do I keep dating the same person over and over again?
Well, that's the family systems coming down the line, and it's very true. And if you think about it, we're doing that so that we get to heal those things.
Mm.
That maybe the things that happened that caused us pain or discomfort or to believe certain things as a child, as an adult, we will replicate somebody who'll bring that up.
Mm.
So we get to change our mind and heal it and get some clearing on it. But yeah, that is kind of why do we keep doing what we're doing sometimes.
Wow. That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
I like his second book. I haven't read it yet, but Receiving Love. But I thought it was interesting because in the foreword he mentions that he wrote it because of the fact after reading the first book, he found that still there were still issues sometimes because... Yeah. And I was wondering how that affects us sometimes in the dating world if we sometimes take on the role perhaps of a martyr where we try and give, and don't let anybody open up to receive.
Isn't martyrdom juicy?
Yes.
It's like the victim-martyr switch thing. I don't know. It's kind of like, I'm a victim, I'm a martyr, I'm a victim, I'm a martyr. And, you know, we all do it to certain degrees. And that's life. And it's being conscious of our own behavior. But, yeah, for sure we do that. And that's why it's really important to know. I mean, there are certain people that can't even receive a compliment.
It's true.
How hard is it to get a compliment? Well, how hard is it to let love in? And that level of intimacy reflects in so many other ways in life. Yeah.
That's heavy.
It's
and
heavy.
True.
And the great thing is that when we take it back to ourselves, that's the coolest part, is because the only person I have any control over on the whole planet is myself.
Yeah.
So I am my own freedom. That's where that lies. You are your own freedom.
Mm.
And so when we get those pieces, it's like a great, it's kind of a bummer at first when our ego goes, are you kidding? We've been doing that the whole time. And then the great part is, and I can change my mind now.
Mm.
And I can do it different. And now that I know what I know, I wouldn't do that anymore.
I think that's a big empowering piece of it, is knowing that we can change your mind.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing that we do have control over, how we perceive things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what is next for you, my darling? Because I know before this, you're mentioning that you've got some workshops, even though we don't have set dates yet, you're working on the curriculum for.
Absolutely.
And it's exciting. So what are some of the pieces?
Well, right now I'm still doing one-on-one coaching. And right now I am working on some workshops whereby we get into, I'll still keep them boutique workshops, probably about 20 people or less. Mm. And we're going to have dialogue, weekly dialogues together about dating and about all these things that we've talked about and about limiting beliefs and about establishing new patterns and about opening up and about changing our stories and basically how to open our hearts just a little bit wider to each other.
Mm.
So I'm very excited about that.
I think that's going to be really neat.
Yeah.
So where can people connect with you so to find out more information, get on waitlist, or to hire you as a dating coach? Or how can they connect with you?
Thank you. The best number is to just probably give me a call on my direct line, which is 604-720-8459.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And if people have any other questions or anything, do you have a, I know you said a website's going to be coming up, so they're going to have to call you to find out, or we're going to have you back on again.
My website's coming up within a week, so it's actually going to be www.datingonpurpose.com.
I like that.
Thank you.
Opposed to crazy randomness, which in Vancouver, it sometimes can be very easy to get addicted to the drama.
I know. And you know what the great thing is? Mm. Drama is actually typically just a sign that we need more adventure and fun. So if we know that, and we know we've had a pattern for drama, which, again, many of us share in varying degrees, we can go, okay, well, I'm actually a bit more of an adventurer than I thought. So how do I create fun and adventure and build that into my life? So there's always really positive ways to meet our needs.
Hmm. I think that's really true. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but that made me think of Mother Teresa, which I think she would have been... I think she was a very passionate woman. And
yeah.
I think if she'd chosen a different path, I can only imagine, like, I'd want to read her story anyway.
Absolutely.
But just where she chose to put that passion. And so you can put that in different areas of your life. But again, it starts with the values. What are your core values? What's important?
Yes.
And thank you so much for doing the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
I have one last question, which is when people call you, are you taking clients by Skype as well? So say somebody's listening, say in Europe or say in Toronto or in the States, are you open to having clients that way as well?
I absolutely do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some aren't, so I always like to double check in regards to people. So I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
I so appreciate it. Thank you for being open and for having such a great medium to work with.
Thank you very much. Awesome. I'm very grateful to CITR that lets me do this. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, listeners, you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very, very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM CITR. We will be back at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock next Wednesday. Stay tuned and listen to the podcasts in between. Bye-bye. And do I have dead air as I'm trying to play a commercial? I think I just might. Let's see if it's going to start. There we go. I'll fade myself out.